if you hadn't already guessed, we're going to talk about the Lunar Sabbath Doctrine, Part 3, the Wandering Seventh-Day Sabbaths. And indeed they are. We find that there were at least 8 points of Scripture that have to be twisted to make this doctrine work. And we're going to go through at least a portion of those today, starting out with 3 days and 3 nights, 72 hours. They believe that the Messiah was killed the day before the weekly Sabbath and claim that 2 Sabbaths were not involved in close proximity. Why? Because they don't want to show another date other than the 8th, the 15th, 22nd, or 29th for a Sabbath. But the fact is, Sabbaths are known on other days, and sometimes feast days are close to weekly Sabbaths. We can get a correct dating of the weekly Sabbath in the book of John in at least a couple different areas, but one in particular needs to be looked at closely, as it shows clearly the weekly Sabbath falls in the midst of the days of unleavened bread. John 12, verses 1 through 2. Joshua, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Joshua had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Now, there are 2 key things to look at here. One is that it says there were 6 days before the Passover. The other is they made him a supper there. So with these 2 emphasized, we can see in John 12, 1, 2, it says, Joshua, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Joshua had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. The wording is saying dinner, basically, which a person would have in the evening. Let's look at the following calendar, which happens to be this month, on their Gregorian calendar, the month of June, but it happens to be in line with the Passover month of March or April of Messiah's time, depending on when Abib was. Here we're assuming it was a 30-day month. We've also moved the new moon back a couple days, since we need to have it positioned according to when the count would have been from. Notice that right down the middle of the calendar is the 8th, the 15th, the 22nd, and the 29th days. But Passover is on the 14th, not the 15th. Now, while the 15th is a high day, if you count either 36 hours, as some understand the resurrection timing, or properly a 72-hour period, you get out of sync with the rest of the scriptures. We can take a look here at just taking a 36-hour view. And going back from the new moon, we see the first day, and they say that first day is not counted, so you'd have going on here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But we count the first day. So the first day going to the 8th, we see John 12, 1, 6 days before Passover. You count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You come to the Passover, which happens on the evening there. You have the preparation day, which is on the 14th day. You have the high day in the evening. You have the high day during the day on the 15th, which is a Wednesday. And then you have the first night. You have the first day. You have a second night. But that would make the 17th the first day of the week? You have to understand how they're wanting to count and what they're doing to the calendar by their count. How does one explain the first day of the week being the 17th at the Messiah's time? If indeed the 15th is a weekly Sabbath, the only way is to say Joshua was in the tomb for 24 hours. I have yet to hear anyone proclaiming Joshua was in the tomb for one day. It's usually always 36 hours or 72 hours, and we understand the 72-hour period is correct. So what happens when we figure the 72-hour period? Well, let's take a look. Here we have the first day of the week, falling properly, according to the biblical way of reckoning a 24-hour day from sunset to sunset. The first day of the week is what we would call Sunday, right after sunset on the seventh day. And there's a lot more that could be shown, but I'm going to recommend the following studies for further review. He Arose But When, which is a booklet that we produce. Also, When Does a Day Begin, showing the proper timing of a day from sunset to sunset. And also the mini study, Why Passover Is Not a High Day. That probably should have been made into a booklet because it's quite thick for one of the mini studies. Well, I'm glad that we have the projector here. I'm glad that we have these visuals because it helps to show what thousands of words would, you know, maybe have a hard time showing. It clearly shows that they're trying to put a square peg in a round hole. It just doesn't work. Another thing is the blowing of trumpets. This was another point that I wanted to cover. As we've looked at in past messages, the Day of Trumpets in Hebrew is Yom Terah, which literally means day of blowing or shouting. We've seen that it was a day to remember. It was a day to remember battles in which Yahweh gave victory, such as the Battle of Jericho, Joshua 6 and verse 20. So the people shouted, and priests blew the trumpets. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. They blew the trumpet. They shouted, and Yahweh gave them victory. This is just one of the times in which we can remember on the Day of Trumpets in which Yahweh provided for his people. They had marched around the city for 7 days. That's all it says. We are not told that the day after the Sabbath, or the day after the weekly seventh-day Sabbath, or the eighth-day Sabbath, as Lunar Sabbath Doctrine keepers would have us think. This area of Scripture is not proof but conjecture for the Lunar Sabbath Doctrine. The weekly Sabbath here could have been any of the 7 days mentioned. The New Testament remembers the account and plainly states in Hebrews 11:30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Nothing more, nothing less. We're not told when the Sabbath was at this time. And we made the point in the past that the Day of Trumpets is a day of remembrance and of all the things Yahweh has done for us, as even his son is coming with a trumpet shout, which is prophetic. So we see prophetic significance in the Day of Trumpets as well. Leviticus 23 and verse 24. Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a rest, a reminder by blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. What has been proposed is this day of blowing would specifically be for the remembrance of the new moon as a day of worship, and that the seventh day is actually the eighth day event. From the book of Genesis that we find. Now, they do point to the book of Job, Job 38, verse 4 through 8, and I'll quote what they've quoted, Young's literal translation. Where wast thou when I, almost sound like the Wascally Wabbit, where wast thou when I founded the earth? Oh dear. Declare if thou hast known understanding, who placed its measures. There's a reason I use the New American Standard Bible. It's a little bit better English for us today. Verse 5. Who placed its measures, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched out upon it a line? On what have its sockets been sunk? Or who hath cast its cornerstone? In the singing together of the stars of morning, and all the sons of Elohim shout for joy. Now, while the word for shout is there, very little else is for coming to the conclusion that the new moon is what the Day of Trumpets is in remembrance of. In all fairness, we can thank Yahweh and remember what he has done for us even at the beginning of creation. After all, we ourselves are part of that creation. So we are very thankful for all that Yahweh has done. But it's not, you know, we can look at Genesis and say, well, the new moon was in the beginning and then the count started. But we don't find that described in Scripture, that the weekly Sabbath should be counted from the new moon. There is a separation of the high days and the weekly Sabbath. There's two ways of looking at those. And the one way is set apart a weekly pattern from creation. The other is set by the moon. And I think that's what's confusing. And one thing that I found out by going through this is that this particular doctrine, I don't believe, from what I've seen, is coming from the sacred name movement. It's coming from Sabbatarians who have not been keeping the feast days, who have not been teaching the Bible correctly, as I believe we have, in all these different areas. And they have come with these different ideas and are promoting it in such a way and are now accepting of the names, but are confused about this particular doctrine. And I find it disturbing because these different areas of Scripture are having to be twisted to make the square peg fit in this round hole, which really doesn't, but they're trying to. And some of the arguments seem pretty convincing, but when you really examine them, they really fall apart. Let's look at Daniel, prophecy of changing times, days, etc. So this is number 3 on our list. And they claim that the seventh day weekly pattern that we have today is pagan and was prophesied to have happened years ago through Daniel. Daniel chapter 7 we could look at. Daniel 7 verse 25. He will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One, and he will intend to make alterations in times and in law, and they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and a half a time. We pointed out in the past that he will intend does not mean it will happen. It means the man of sin will attempt to make changes and alterations in times and law. The wording he will intend literally has the meaning of he will try or he will plan. As we know, plans don't always work out. Another important point is that this is speaking of the time of tribulation, which is a 7-year period that most scholars recognize is ahead of us. They also believe that we'll be raptured out, which we don't believe, because Scripture talks about us suffering through the tribulation. And it also talks about us being protected through the tribulation. Even in the middle of it. But this is a time of the tribulation. This is not speaking of today. We're not in the tribulation that in the day of Yahweh that is spoken of, which is yet ahead. Another point, the following example is another verse used to try and to prove the point that Saturday or Saturn's day is fulfillment of Scripture, when in reality is just a pagan name given to the scriptural seventh day of the week, kind of like Sunday has been given to the first day of the week. Of course, we do see the history there where Constantine actually made an edict in which he was a pagan sun worshiper, and he held the venerable day of the sun, S-U-N, in honor. And so the day was changed, codified in law. And that's something that we do see in the history books. But notice this Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 6, which has been pointed to. And he has violently treated his tabernacle like a garden booth. He has destroyed his appointed meeting place. Yahweh has caused to be forgotten the appointed feast and Sabbaths in Zion. And he has despised king and priest in the indignation of his anger. Well, there you have it. We've forgotten the Sabbaths and appointed feast. Is that what is being said here? We have to look at this in context, in history. What is being said? Why does it say Zion, which is another word for Jerusalem? Lamentations is most likely written by Jeremiah, who is the one who prophesied about Babylon coming in and taking Judah captive, which they did for 70 years, which was the timing of the number of the land Sabbaths or sabbaticals Judah failed to obey. The point, however, is this took place past tense. It has already taken place. This is not a scripture we find prophetic duality in. Weekly Sabbaths and observance of feasts in Jerusalem did cease to occur. The temple was desecrated. You read in the scripture, it said, he has destroyed his appointed meeting place. That did happen. Yahweh caused it to happen. Both the Bible and archaeology stand as witnesses to the fact. It is not proof for the new moon Sabbath doctrine. It is rather a grasping at straws, I believe, for the teaching. Number four, the 14th versus the 15th. Speaking about the timing of Passover, they teach that Ben Ha Arbim means 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And there's a lot of scholarship out there that says this is true, but it's going with the tradition of Pharisaical Judaism that we've seen. And there are a number of scholars that disagree with this stance, and there are translations that say that Ben Ha Arbim basically means dusk or twilight, or basically between the evenings, between the two evenings, between sunset and dark, which is exactly what we believe. Ben Ha Arbim literally means son of the evenings. And we've looked at the timeline of the Passover before, and there are a number of Hebrew words that we have to consider. Areb, Bo, Ben Ha Arbim, Layla, Bokher, Yom. All of these have meaning, but Ben Ha Arbim fits in right after Bo. And we've done a number of studies on these things, and we have them written down. We also have messages. So this is not really something I want to spend a lot of time in. But in Exodus 12 and verse 18, it's brought up, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. Knowing the timing of Passover and when the 15th starts, that is, at the end of the 14th, we see the following calendar month of April from this year, showing the days properly laid out. April 2011. We have the Passover, which falls at the evening of the 14th, which is shown here, would be the whole day of the 18th there. But from the new moon, you'd count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. And at the end of the 13th is the beginning of the 14th. So that's Passover. You have the preparation day, which is very important. A lot of people get confused about the preparation day and what that really means. But it's the day before the first high day of unleavened bread. Then you have the 7 days of unleavened bread going through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now, those promoting the new moon Sabbath doctrine admit that the 21st is a high Sabbath. They admit that. But then they point to the following scripture for evidence that the seventh day spoken of here is actually the 22nd day from the new moon. Exodus 13, 6 through 7. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to Yahweh. Unleavened bread shall be eaten throughout the 7 days, and nothing leavened shall be seen among you, nor shall any leaven be seen among you in all of your borders. Now, they actually just point out verse 6, but I've included verse 7 here. In context, does it say what they say it says? Or do we see Yahweh explaining the seventh day of the feast is a high day? Now, they say themselves that the seventh day is a high day, but they're saying that the 22nd is the seventh day of the week. And we can take a look at this with this calendar. Same month, April 2011, kept the days of unleavened bread there where we had them. Counting, using their count, they would count the first day, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, to what they would say is a Sabbath, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, on through the 21st. You have the 22nd there. Again, is Yahweh saying the 22nd is the seventh day? It's twisting the scriptures to say such things. And you can see why I've included the wording wondering seventh-day Sabbath in the title. It's because, according to the advocates, the weekly Sabbath can fall on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, basically any time during the week. And we do see the weekly pattern does not change, and it is not somehow connected with the month. The only days connected with the month are the high Sabbaths, and there are seven of those throughout the year. Kind of like seven sabbaticals, or 7 years for a sabbatical. Basically, the number seven is spiritual perfection in Scripture. It's completeness. And within the week, there is completeness. But it's 7 days, and it's a continuous pattern that continues. Now, if the rotation of the moon came out every 22nd or 22 or 29 days, I think it would be less of a stretch to come up with a new moon Sabbath doctrine. But we would still have to change a lot of teachings from Yahweh's word to make it fit. And that's where I've definitely got a problem with this. Its tentacles are going way too many times into Scripture and twisting it to make this particular doctrine that they're holding to be true work. And it just doesn't work. Next time, we'll look at a few more areas of Scripture and try to wrap this up. Next Sabbath, by the way, is Pentecost weekend. And it just so happens that we'll take a look at what the Lunar Sabbatarians have to say about counting to Pentecost and what Scripture has to say about it. There is a difference.